Chapter number 14, Romans 14 in our study of the book of Romans, and I've enjoyed studying together, enjoyed the discussion time of what God's teaching you in Romans. I missed the lesson this morning in the adult Sunday school class. We kind of talked about something with the teens, kind of leading up to what my focus has been on this week in Romans, and we'll start this morning and finish tonight. In our bulletin, I gave you the title of the messages this morning tonight, What Really Matters, What's on the Inside this morning, and then tonight, We're All in This Together. You ever heard that one? They don't say the complete thing. We're all in this together until we're not. That's the reality of the thing, but we'll talk about that this evening. Romans chapter number 14, and if you're able to stand with me, let's stand in respect to the Word of God. We're going to read verses 7 through 12. This morning, and there's a lot of things I'd like to focus on in these verses, but I'll try to keep my attention on what God has spoken to me that we need as God's people this morning. Romans 14, beginning in verse number 7, says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why hast thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And if you've studied this chapter, you know there's much in this chapter said about judging our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a lot of talk about that in our world today. And I've been focusing on what I think is the heart and soul of this whole chapter, and that is found in these verses here, especially verse 11 and 12. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and let you have a seat this morning. I won't be mean like Gary and make you stand all morning, but we'll let you sit down after we pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the blessing it is to know you, to fellowship with your people. Lord, teach us to put our eyes and keep our eyes fixed upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And Lord, you are set down at the right hand of God the Father today, interceding for us. We thank you for the privilege it is to know that you have a place prepared for us at your table. We can fellowship with you today, and we can fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ through the grace that God gives to us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the morning service. I pray if there's one here today that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would come and be accepted into the Beloved, to come to Jesus and let Jesus come into them. Pray that you would bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a seat if you will. What really matters is inside. We're going to talk about that this morning, what really matters. Now, I've got some things that, some introductory remarks, I guess, that might take a little while to get through, so I'll try to hurry through this, and some of us will come back and visit tonight. But contrary to popular opinion, no one is good enough to go to heaven. Do you believe that today? No one's good enough to go to heaven. And contrary to popular opinion, when we die, we do not become angels. We don't get angels' wings when we die. In fact, we don't come back to haunt people after death, as is a popular teaching this next couple of weeks. God's, oh man, we don't have that. In fact, when we get to heaven, much of what is so important to us here will mean absolutely nothing in heaven. And people do not become saints, as they're called by a lot of religions, that we can pray to when they're in heaven. There's one that we pray to, and that's Jesus Christ. There's no saint or angel that we pray to. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the what? The judgment. The judgment. What about that judgment? What's inside is what counts. Now, there are two future judgments, and I was asking the teenagers about this in Sunday school, when we leave this world, that the Bible speaks of. One is found in Revelation 20. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And this is what God has to say about that judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, and the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This judgment is speaking of the punishment for our sin. And by the way, if you're saved, you will not stand before that judgment throne. You'll stand before it because Jesus has already taken our judgment upon himself. When he died on the cross, he died for my sin. He bore my sin on the cross. And what would take me for an eternity in the lake of fire, in hell to pay, Jesus paid in those few hours when God the Father turned his back on him. And the world grew dark and Jesus died for my sin. Christ has taken my punishment, and therefore I don't have to worry about that judgment seat because I'm saved in Jesus Christ. And then the Bible talks about, as we read here in Romans chapter number 14, the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is far different than the great white throne judgment. This is a judgment for believers. This is a judgment that you and I that are saved will face. And again, look at verse number 10 through 12. It says, but why shalt thou judge thy brother? Or who has set at or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now we may go here tonight, and Philippians chapter number 2 says that we should bow. Here it says we shall bow. And there is a difference there. But this is a judgment where we as believers will give an account for our life. Now it's not what we think of most of the time when you talk about this judgment seat where God's going to reward the good and to punish the evil. No, there's no punishment. The punishment was taken by Jesus Christ. But there is a reward ceremony because Jesus already paid for our sin. We're not going to be punished for our sin. God's going to reward righteousness. God's going to reward love. God's going to reward humility. God's going to reward faithfulness. God's going to reward works. God's going to reward labors, but they're not our labors. It's not our faithfulness. It's not our love. It's not our goodness that he's going to reward. It's his. In other words, without him, we have nothing. We have nothing to accept at that reward. And that's why when we get there, we're going to realize and understand this, that nothing that I have ever done has accomplished anything for God. Did you get that? There's nothing that I'm going to get rewarded for in heaven. I'm only going to get rewarded for what God has given to me to begin with. That's his grace. The only thing I can do is allow God to live in me. And anything that I've accomplished in this world, that world that's worthy of goodness, it's because of him. It's by his grace. And I'm going to realize that. Maybe some folks will realize that the first time, that I can't do anything. I can do nothing without him, but it's only by his grace. And we're going to give him back the rewards because they rightly belong to him. All that I have belongs to Him. Now, that's just by way of introduction. Everything is by grace. Anything I could claim belongs to Him and Him alone. Now, I want to give something to you today to illustrate something. I got a coffee table up here. What do we put in a coffee table? Your feet. I was going to say that. Was that Don that said that? Your feet. You put, books, newspapers, whatever. No. We put coffee on the coffee table. So I've got some coffee mugs here. All right. You hear them playing. I got a whole box. This is a shoebox, so if you want to put your feet on the coffee table, you can do that. But there's something else in this coffee table. I want to put this out to show you something. This is, by the way, one of these mugs represents every one of us, one of these coffee mugs. Maybe we'll pull this one out first. This one's got a picture of my family. I'm trying to think. This is a few years old, so I'm trying to think who is on there. And who was not on there. We had a double birthday this week. Yesterday was my son, grandson Micah's birthday. He turned 9. He's not in this picture yet. Aaron and Jackie are on there. But this is a family picture. And today is Grace's birthday. She's 10 today. And she is, she's not on here yet either. This is an old picture. And tomorrow is going to be Maverick's second birthday. Those are 3 of our grandkids. We got them all 3. And by the way, one's in Africa, one's in Texas, and one's in Iowa. We don't get to be with them on their birthdays, which I'm grateful that we raised our children to be adults and to be on their own rather than to always, I won't get into that, but I love my family, and it even says love. This is my family. Oh, this is a family man. This is somebody who lives for their family, and family is not life to me, but it is to some people. Family is everything, and this is somebody that everything is family. It's all about family, all about being a good mother, a good father, a good parent, a good son, a good daughter, and some people will say, well, life is not just about family, it's about church. So I got a coffee mug here from church. From 2005 was the year of Jubilee. Now, some people today, it's a pop thing in Christian circles today to start honoring the Sabbath day and what day is a Sabbath day. And I say, well, you can honor whatever day you want, but I wonder if anybody's going to honor the Sabbath years, where you take off work and don't do anything for a whole year but worship God. Nobody does that because that would be inconvenient. But we kind of like a day off of the week. But anyways, this is a year of Jubilee, the Sabbath week, the Sabbath year. Every 50 years was a Sabbath year where all debts were wiped clean. Nobody did any work that. Nobody planted any crops. Nobody did anything because it was a year. And that was the year, 150 years. By the way, we didn't do all of that. Man, we missed our opportunity, didn't we? But this is a church mug. Some folks, their life revolves around church and ministry and all the things that, boy, they're good people, aren't they? Church people are good people, right? Some of you are like, yeah, where are you going with this one? I'm not sure about that. There's a mug that's, there's a good church people. Well, this person's involved in family, this person's involved in church, but we've got some more mugs here. You say, well, and here's one. Gary and Jessica just took their family to Gettysburg. We went there a couple of years ago, and this is a mug from Gettysburg. That big mural that's all around the whole building, I don't remember what the dimensions are, but that thing was huge. And the guide points out all the different things. Well, this is a picture of that mural. It's really small on here. You can't hardly make out anything. But this is, and I think when we were at Gettysburg, I was amazed and so humbled for the sacrifice that so many have made for our country. And just to hear the stories and the thousands of people that have given, not only in that battlefield, but many people quote the verse, though it really doesn't fit, but we use it all the time. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. We talk about that for military or first responders, and that's kind of a popular thing today, but that verse is really talking about Jesus. Don't mess anybody's parade up. But we use that, and here's somebody that has given their life for their country. And I think of Gettysburg, I still remember some of the stories, the individuals that died on that battlefield, and the gruesome scene that it was. And I think here's some patriots, some folks that have given their life to serve their country. They've been great patriots. They've been done a sacrifice, paid many sacrifices for the freedom, the liberty that we enjoy today. And there's some very special people. You say, well, there's a great family man, there's a great church man or lady, and there's someone that sacrificed much for the country. You say, well, I don't really fit in one of those. I'm just kind of a plain old person. Nothing really on here. Of course, the other side's got a happy little smiley face, but this was just a plain side. I'm just nobody. I'm nothing special. I'm not really a great family person. I'm not really a great church person. I'm not really a great patriarch or a great military person or someone that's paid the sacrifice to give us liberty and freedom. I'm just kind of a plain Jane snowman or whatever on the other side. And then somebody's going, you know, you still haven't described me, Pastor. So I've got a special cup that somebody gave me, I think as a pastor appreciation gift, I think. And you say, well, this kind of describes what my life is like. I mean, my life is a mess. I've wasted so much. I don't deserve anything. And by the way, until we get to this point, we'll never be anything for God. I'm just a total mess. And you know, we look at all these different people. Maybe I've, you know, spent much of my life behind bars and in trouble hiding from the law and disgraced my family, disgraced everything that I've ever known, disgraced my community, and I'm just a big old toilet bowl is all that's all my life is. But you know, if you were to look at these, Ben, you're a tall guy, come on up here. I want you to look inside of these mugs and see what's in every one of them. We've got the same thing in them. Can you see what's inside of them?
Dirt.
It's dirt. You know what? Every one of us, thank you, Ben. You're very observant. You want a taste of it, by the way? You want to have a tea party here? A dirt party? Every one of us, no matter who we are, you know what we are inside? We're dirt. You say, well, that person's such a good person. Look at their family. Look at all that they've done for their family. You know what's inside of them? Dirt. Well, that person's a good church person. They're always in church. They're serving in church. They're always doing things for God. And you know what's inside of their heart? What they are inside? They're dirt. What God sees is what's inside. And this person that's, you know, their life is a mess and everything they've done, everything they've touched has fallen apart. And I mean, they're ready to pull the lever, just flush it all. Just get rid of it. They're of no use of anything. You know what's inside of them? The same thing that's inside of everybody else. We're just dirt. That's all we are. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? But before we can be encouraged in the Lord, we need to realize who we are. And I think the biggest problem that we have in our world, in our culture today, in my life today, is I need to realize who I am that I can realize who God is. Until I know who I am, I can't know who God is. Salvation is the difference between heaven and hell. We talked about the two judgments. The first judgment, the judgment of the great white throne, where the dead without Christ are cast into the lake of fire, which God calls the second death. The only difference between those that are in the being judged there and those that escape that judgment is salvation in Jesus Christ. We've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Salvation is the only difference between heaven and hell. Doesn't matter what kind of person you are, without salvation, you have no hope for eternal life because inside you're still just dirt. We're all the same inside. Romans chapter number 2. Let me just give you some verses that we've looked at already previously in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 2 says, "Wherefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself." The religious person here might look at the person whose life was a mess and say, "Man, you are a mess." But look inside and all I see in here is dirt too. Look at all that sin. Look at all that wickedness in your heart. But then look in my heart and I see the same thing as dirt. But the judgment of God is according to truth. Romans chapter number 2 says, against them which commit such things. Romans 3 verses 9 and 10 says, what then? Are we better than they? No in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. One word at a time there, all right? They are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter how clean and how nice we look on the outside, inside, we're still just dirt. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I'm saved. What about me? Well, we're saved by grace through faith, God says. In Romans chapter number 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, wherefore being justified by faith. We're justified by faith. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Our hope is by faith, by grace God has saved us. I have nothing. If I got what I deserve, Romans 6:23, you know the verse, say it with me, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only thing that I deserve is death. All that's in me is dirt. Well, wait a minute. I'm saved. I'm not like that anymore. I've cleaned up the outside, but inside, Paul says, I'm still dirt. In fact, in Romans chapter number 7, he deals very specific with that. Even after I get saved, this is what's in me. Paul says in Romans 7, verse number 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. Now, I'd sure like to clean up, but boy, I can make the outside real clean and maybe work on that, but inside, I'm still filled with dirt. And he concludes Romans chapter 7 and says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body is death. It's dirt. You hear, the Bible never says this, but I guess it's only in funerals on TVs they say from ashes to ashes, from dust to dust. And the Bible doesn't really say that, but we think it's one of those things we think is in the Bible. But we were created as out of dirt. God created the first man. And that we will return to dirt. I believe Job talks about that. But that's all that we are. Romans chapter number 8 talks about the hope that we have in Christ and the reality of God living in us. And I love where this is going to end when that dirt will be done away with. And Romans chapter number 8 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. God, we're longing for that day when that dirt's dumped out. But as long as we have life here, we're still full of dirt. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And we groan within ourselves. Romans 8 talks about waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, when our body will be clean from the inside out. But right now, I'm still filled with sin. Well, when and how is this going to happen? At the resurrection. In Romans, or 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the great gospel chapter is the great resurrection chapter. I declare unto you the gospel, that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, that he is coming again. When he comes again, the Bible says that we will see him as he is. We will know him and we will be transformed. And 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that transformation that takes place at the time of death. Well, wait a minute. Death? You know, this is a strange thing. Somebody, I was reading or listening to something this week. I don't remember who. I listen to so many things or read so many things that are good things. Try to weed out the junk that we fill our minds with. But that death is something we don't like to talk about in our world, isn't it? We don't like to talk about it. When someone dies, do you announce, hey, so-and-so died. Is that how you say it? We don't say that, do we? We say, well, they did what? They passed away. Or they just passed. what, pass the soup and gravy or what? They passed. We say that because we don't like that word death. And we don't have funerals anymore. Instead, we call them what?
Celebration
of life. Not death, but life. Hey, I got news for you. They're dead. But we don't like that word. That has kind of a name. We don't like to talk about death, do we? When someone passes, we have a celebration of life. And then you say, well, and then at the funeral service or the celebration of life, we'll often say, well, they're living in our memories. We don't want to say they're dead, but that's the truth, isn't it? They're dead. We have wonderful memories, but they're not alive in those memories. Those are just memories. The truth is, when they die, they either go to heaven or to hell. Their life continues on throughout eternity. But we don't like to talk about death. Now, the reality is, for a believer, life and victory rises out of death. Can you think about that? The reason our world doesn't like to talk about death is because that's where victory starts. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Life begins when we leave this old flesh, when we leave this body, though it might be clean on the outside, inside. I want to dump this out, but whoever cleans this won't be real happy with me. So what's inside will be done away with. It'll die. And right now it is nothing but dirt. And we can deal. We tell you, when we realize that life begins at death, we can deal with a lot of things in this world. Romans chapter number 8 tells us, for I reckon, I account that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For life begins at death. Now, if we back up a little bit, I really can't enjoy life till it's over with. No, I can enjoy life today by learning to die to myself. That's the message. If you go back, there's two chapters of Romans chapter number 12. For I am, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. A sacrifice is not living. But we're to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that everyone among you that thinketh himself more highly than he ought to think, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God has dealt with him, every man the measure of faith. We die with him that we might live with him. Romans 6 says it this way, for I have planted, that we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. And it's identifying, it's showing us what picture identifies. We're like him in death, that we might walk in newness of life, in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Jesus said a number of times during his earthly ministry, he that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. But he that loseth his life for the gospel's sake shall find it. If we die to ourselves, there is the key of living the Christian life. And we ought to start by dying now, not dying physically. Now, this is our physical life here. Our physical life is, we may be a good person, we may have a good family and all these things, or we may just be a plain Jane, nobody special, but all of us are the same inside. We're all filled with sin and dirt and wickedness. How can I live like Jesus today? How can I live like Jesus today? And we're going to pick this up tonight and go beyond this. But I just want to give you a few things. How can I live like Jesus? I must die to myself and let Christ live in me. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to have to die to myself, because myself is nothing but dirt. And you know, I can take that dirt and mix some water in it. I was thinking of doing this, but that would be a real mess, that the Holy Spirit is pictured as water. God is pictured as, well, you can mix some water in there, and now we've got mud. Remember when Jesus picked up some dirt and spit on it and made clay? Maybe I could do that. Todd, you want to volunteer? Take your glasses off. Let's see if this works. And he mixed some water with that, but still, we can take that dirty water and try to wipe up the outside, but it's still a mess, isn't it? We're really not much inside other than Jesus living in us. And the more we die to ourselves, the more Jesus can be seen in us. The more He can live in us. I must die to myself and let Christ live in me. I must find grace that comes through faith. The grace is God doing in me what is humanly impossible. Only God can truly transform my life. It's what's inside that really counts. What's that mean to me? If you're an office worker, you get a job in an office. You may have a boss that's hard to get along with. You may have fellow workers that are hard to get along with. Of course, nobody has a bad situation like that, do they? And you just want to wring their neck sometimes. But you can't do that because you want to die to yourself. And when you die to yourself, you can live in Christ. Maybe you're a housewife or homemaker. I don't know if that's politically correct to use that term housewife anymore. A keeper of the home, which is, again, not something we like to think about as anything glamorous, but boy, that is an important job. You say, well, I'd like to wring my children's neck sometimes. And you can't do that because you go to jail for it. It's probably not the best thing to do. And what you need to do is, all I'm doing is cleaning up after them, cooking and cleaning and doing dishes and taking care of things. It's just a never-ending job. And some of our grandkids stopped by the other day. And I was gone. I came home. They're come and gone because we only have one grandchild still in diapers. It's not the one that turned 10. I could tell because there was, we call it an offering hanging outside of the back door in a bag. All I got to take those to the dumpster right away. And all I got to do is change the diapers. I'm glad Grandpa graduates from that. At least that's the rules are in our house, huh? Oh yeah, I put my time in with the kids, but not with the grandkids. Take a dead deer that's bigger than me and cut out its insides and lay it all over and put up with the smell and looks of that, but I can't face that dirty diaper anymore. No way. Can't do that no more. Glad those days are over with, but, oh, come on, you big wimpy. Yep, I'll claim that title. Grandpa's graduated from that. But it seems like you're keeping the home and you're training the kids and it's a never-ending job. But, it's not what I want to do. I want Jesus to be seen in my care for my children. It's not my life. It's not what I think, what I do. You're a husband, a father. You're a mechanic, a factory worker, a homemaker. Whatever the situation is you're in, the key to living a life that's pleasing to God is dying to yourself. Because all that's in yourself, boy, if I did what I want to do, I'm out of here. If I did what I want to do, I'd take a week-long, month-long, year-long vacation from work. But you've got to have money coming in order to do that. And you balance those things out, but the reality is, inside of me, there's no good thing. The only thing that can be shining in me is Christ shining through me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You watch those kids grow past the infant stage to the toddler stage, and then you put up with them for the teenagers. And if you're fortunate enough to find the grace to let them live through their teen years, they'll be adults one day. And they'll grow on to do something for God because you sacrifice and die to yourself that you might be an encouragement and a help to them. And teenagers, young people, you turn into young adults and newlyweds and all those different stages in life. If we're going to make it, the key in every stage in life is learning to die, not what I want to do. That's how we're born into this world. Everything's about me. But as you mature, you realize it's not about me, it's about others. And then if you become a Christian and learn the value of walking with Jesus, you realize that anything inside of me is dirt. I need to learn to die to myself that I might live in Christ. And I may put on a good front. I may look good to others. I may come to church on Sunday and get all cleaned up and wear my Sunday best, but who wants to drink that? You see, God knows what's in the heart. And I might be able to hide that from others, but I can't hide it from God. And if I learn to see myself the way God sees me, rather than, you know, I might put on a good front for my family. I might look like the model parent. Boy, especially my Facebook profile, I can look like the perfect father. My family can be all in order. Of course, on a coffee mug, your family can, and he can even say love on it. And you love your family, but inside, oh my, it can be a totally different story, can't it? And the thing that makes the difference is when I learn to die to myself, because inside of me, there's no good thing. The only good I have is by the grace of Jesus Christ living in me and through me. So let's not just clean up the outside. Let's look at the inside. Look at the filth that's inside of us. And it's good, it's easy for us to look at everybody that peek in other people's cup and see what's in there. Well, we're good at that, aren't we? And not see what's in our own heart, in our own life. And that's what Romans chapter number 14 is all about. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where all the secrets, they're already known. And God's just going to show them to us. And the key is letting Him show them to us now. Letting Him show us what's in our heart now. And then letting Him transform us from within. And we'll never fully get to that place until we get to heaven. Until we're perfect like Him. And don't ever think that I've arrived, that I've got all I need, and I'm at the place where I need to be, because every time I look into the Word of God, God shows me again, oh boy, without Jesus, you are nothing but a bucket of dirt. Thank God for His righteousness. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.